another epic edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I am your lovable host, Dominic Vogel, and joining me as always is the somewhat lovable, but I'm pretty sure is usually lovable, Mr. Christian Redshaw. Christian, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. I am stoked. I'm excited to bring our guest on today.
Who is our guest? I'm dying to know.
Well, is none other than Rick Jordan. So he is a multifaceted individual with many layers, based out of Chicago, and his company is called Reach Out. So I just can't wait to get into this. He's going to be a live wire. He's got a podcast of his own. So he's no stranger to being on air.
Well, I'm not going to waste any further words. Let's take a pause here. Let's bring on Rick.
And let's
have an epic combo with him.
Rick, welcome to the show today. It's great to have you on.
It's really great to be here. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to start out with some personal questions for you here. So what I understand, you're an entrepreneur, speaker, author, ordained pastor, musician, devoted husband, father of three. First question is, when are you going to start doing something with your life?
That's great. You could add to that now, executive producer, filmmaker, you know, the list keeps going. But
I did notice, but we can't list all of the things here. We only have 20 minutes.
There's a common thread through everything, though, thank God, right? Is that I fight for the disadvantaged and those being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And everything you mentioned, just that's the umbrella that houses all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awesome. I can very much relate to you. So let's get into some cybersecurity topics here. We want to get to know you personally throughout the conversation, but our show is called Cybersecurity Matters. And obviously you're in the cybersecurity world and the IT world. In your point of view, with your experience, tell us why cybersecurity matters to you.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a patriot and beyond a bit of a patriot. And cybersecurity is really, like I said, about protecting those that are disadvantaged or those being taken advantage of. And cybersecurity falls into either of those categories to me. The disadvantaged, I see a lot with those who might not be able to afford proper protections, you know, because you see a difference, if we can dive into it, between the enterprise space that has these huge budgets for cybersecurity. And then you get down into the SME space, and it's sort of just, we're going to do what we can with the dollars that we have.
Yes.
And there's this huge gap and disconnect to me, and it's great because everything under the sun is available to the enterprise space. But then we get into the disadvantage and those being taken advantage of, which is the SMB space, and they just can't do what's necessary, or at least they don't know where to go or where to start, even those that have the budget.
And we find, too, with the smaller organizations, a couple of things. Cyber criminals are aware of those lines where there's heavy investment in protection on the people and the processes and policies and the technology. And then below that, the vulnerability just increases, yet the information is equally as valuable. The other part of it, too, is that there are maybe dangerous myths that the small organizations believe with maybe a false sense of security as a result of that. Do you run into the same thing that we're running into, the common myths like IT handles our cybersecurity, so we're good, that's their issue, or we're too small to be a target, those kind of things? What are you
every
finding?
Single day, especially that last one that you mentioned, we're too small to be a target, because there is a threshold of absorbency, as I'll call it, as far as how much risk you can take on, you know, or what the liability will be after a cybersecurity event occurs. The larger companies that have the budgets, well, they've got the budgets. That's great to put protections in place, but they still get hacked. They still get attacked every single day. And really, when I say every day, it's really multiple times per minute they have attacks that are flying at them. And when they do have a breach, they have the financial coffers to absorb the liability a lot easier than a smaller organization. And cybersecurity, we talk a lot about prevention. And I know a lot of MSPs or MSSPs talk a lot about the prevention side, but I always say, you know, well, what's the plan after the attack? Where's your cyber liability insurance policy? Is that up? You know, I'm just talking very layman's terms with these things, but there's processes, there's procedures to try to mitigate the amount of damage after an event occurs that have to be in place. Because when you go below that threshold into the small business realm, something that might not take down or take out an enterprise will wipe out that small business from ever existing again, just from a single attack. Mm-hmm. So while they may think that their vulnerability is lower, that's just like saying, well, if I drive a smaller car on the road, I have less of a chance of an accident. It's just not the case.
That's so true. And that's often what we refer to as almost that strange existential paradox. You know, when you ask, you know, someone, you know, does a large company have the most to lose or a smaller company have the most to lose when it comes to a data breach? And as you aptly pointed out there, Rick, it's the small company that has the most to lose. It's an existential threat for them. They don't have the treasure chest to survive.
They don't have the cash reserves, especially after a year like this with COVID. Nobody has cash reserves in the small business space anymore.
Absolutely.
They're just trying to make payroll.
Exactly. Absolutely. And now, in your mind, we're talking again about that. It's almost that inequality of cybersecurity resources for smaller organizations. You know, much of that still it gets tied to, a lack of awareness amongst executives in the SME and SMB space. How do we keep moving that awareness needle forward? Because right now, at least what we see is most smaller and mid-sized organizations, they'll only invest in cybersecurity reactively after they've barely survived ransomware, after some massive security incident. They will then open up the wallet. How do we move that needle from being purely reactive to at least being a bit more proactive, if at all?
Sure. That's a fantastic question, too. You just nailed the head on what my mission is. And I think there's a larger stigma that's in place that we have to overcome first, as far as a stereotype goes, because I came from the engineering space, right? And then I crossed over to what I say the dark side, into the business owner, the sales side. You know, I shifted from the green lightsaber to the red, if you want to look at it that way. And in this space, you have to become more human. This is not, cybersecurity at its heart to me is not a technical problem. Because while technical tools are used to perpetuate the attacks, it's still human beings that are behind every single hack. And when you start thinking like a human, what's their motive? You know, because different threat actors have different motives. Then you can put the right proactive measures in place and you can actually target it to things that matter for the small business owners. You know, because if it's a nation state that's the threat actor, will they get hit? Probably not if it's a nation state, but what if it's more of a hacktivist, somebody just having some fun, or it's overseas manufacturing hackers that are looking to gain intellectual property? Does the business that your client have intellectual property that's worth protecting? And now you start to hit the nail on the head to be able to say, this really does relate to you, and here's why you need to do that, versus just saying the generalization of, you're going to get hacked someday, and here's a picture of a hacker with a hoodie on and this dark figure in a corner. Like, no, they're people. The hackers are literal people like you and me. They're trying to run their small business by attacking your small business. They put food on the table for their kids by leeching off of you and damaging your livelihood. That's it. Mm-hmm. When you put it in human perspectives, and this is the encouragement I have for all the tech people in the world, is if you want to call it the dark side, maybe I'll call it the light side, is become more human rather than more technical to all of everyone you have interactions with. And the education piece will be just so much easier.
Yeah, that's so well said. One smaller extension question too, before I flip the mic back to Christian. I know we were talking a little bit earlier there about myths, and again, those misperceptions, especially again, non-technical business people in the SMB space. Talk to me a bit about mindset as well. You know, what many business owners and small business executives that we've talked with are stuck in that mindset of, oh, we have antivirus, you know, I'm running Symantec, or, you know, we know not to click on the Nigerian print scams. It's like, well, great. You know, if this was 1995, bravo, hats off to you. You have nothing else to worry about, but it's 2020. Again, how can we, again, it may be an extension of what you just mentioned earlier there, but how do we get that mindset stuck from the mid-90s, which many SMBs are still stuck in, to where we are now in 2020 or 2021 type threat landscape?
Sure. It's all coming back to what's relative to them again, and using words that drive emotions when you're having those conversations. Because you're right. And the ways I've used it, because I used to work for Best Buy. I was the very first Geek Squad agent in Chicago. I helped roll out Canada, training all the agents up there. I have deep roots, man. You know, my first call as a Geek Squad agent, I thought I was going to be saving the world, you know, connecting business networks, and I knock on the door and it's like, hey, I'm here to scrub your porn, you know. But even with that, that's relatable.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that resonates with that person. So if you're going to talk about Norton antivirus or something like Symantec, they'll think that because it's this big, well-known brand, but that's not the case. You know, what are hackers using? They're not using some 1990 Ford Pinto, you know, to try to get into your network. And people can resonate with this. It's like they have a brand new Aston Martin that's sitting in my garage right now trying to get into your network. So in order to stay up to the game with them, you have to have what is now, what is current, because life has passed us by when it comes to technology. And the hackers, unfortunately, have better resources than even the police and the FBI do at this point.
Yeah, that's absolutely bang on. Now, switching from these outsider threats of nation states, hacktivists, people with hoodies and basements and real people, to insider threats. Now, you have a book, as I understand it, called Situational Ethics, True Stories About Insider Threats. Can you quickly break down for us the profile of an insider threat in terms of the ones that are done on purpose, malicious ones, and the accidental insiders? What does that look like?
Sure. The accidental insiders are probably the ones that are the most dangerous, because they're not even the ones that realize themselves that they're going to do something. They have these, in my book, thank you for mentioning that, Situational Ethics, it talks about when you become an unethical person is when you do something to better yourself at the expense of another person. And when you look at insider threats in that way, some people just have malice in their hearts, you know, but that's a very small percentage. I personally like to believe that pretty much everybody out there is good. They just make bad decisions. And the bad decisions come from different external pressures that are forcing them to cross that line, or they feel like they're forcing them. For example, one of the stories in my book, it was a $25 million book of business that this individual downloaded and reached out. My company had the right measures in place to monitor employee behaviors, not just the data and everything else, but the behavior has very technical data indicators, meaning large amounts of data transferred at one time. But then you have to go to what's the motive behind this and how far will this person go? But as we were tracking this event, it took maybe about 90 minutes from the point to where it started, from the moment that we decided to pull the plug on it and make a phone call, because the last step was this individual was in the parking lot of my client's largest competitor. And we tracked him via GPS in his company vehicle. So all the measures were in place. You know, even old school measures like GPS, because it's still the best thing out there to geolocate somebody. But his motivation, man, was he had three ex-wives, had back taxes, alimony with everyone that just got out of control. And the guy was such in a financial hole that he thought that the only way to break out of this corner would be to take advantage of the situation that came across his desk. You know, and a lot of times in the law enforcement community, it's called a motive of opportunity. The opportunity was there. It presented itself. But what if the opportunity wasn't there? That's where the prevention comes into place, because you have to start thinking like people again, like humans. And it's one of the pressures right now. And insider threats, especially now, again, after this year in the pandemic, it's not just small businesses are hurting, but every individual, jobless, or they might have had to take pay cuts. Maybe they were furloughed for a while, now they're back at work. Everyone this year is hurting financially. Mm-hmm. And if you need to protect your business, make sure that you're taking care of your people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a human step that's so outside the realm of what cybersecurity really means, but that's where it starts, is lifting up your people so that they don't feel like they have to take advantage of you. And then if they feel they do, you have the right technical tools in place.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
That's I was just to quick extension there, you know, and I love that your thinking is so different than a lot of, you know, stereotypical security professionals as well. So many security people are technology first, and again, if you don't map the technology back to an actual risk, you're just doing security for security's sake. You know, so what I love so much about what you said there, Rick, again, is by taking that human centric approach, you're able to encompass then broader risk-centric approach, and then you're able to implement the right technologies to address that, rather than the reverse of that, which is incredibly inefficient and ineffective, as the past 25, 30 years has shown. So I appreciate that bang that on. Level of contrarian thinking is to me is bang on.
Awesome, thank you. I'm glad it's lifting you up today.
So the, certainly is. You put me in a better mood.
Good.
Rick, the problem with this show is it's only 20 minutes. We really needed to talk for an hour because we've got a lot to discuss today. But I want to touch for the home stretch on your organization, which is called Reach Out Technology. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we want to learn about what you do, who you help. And within that reality, I understand that you're an MSSP. So can you tell us what is an MSSP and what's the difference between that and an MSP, which is an IT managed service provider?
Sure. It's an extra S in there, right? And the extra S is just security. That's all it is. There's not two creative people that exist in this industry to try to come up with a new acronym, just completely new. But it's just what it is, you know, so that's fine. But here, to that point, too, none of our clients know what the hell an MSSP is or an MSP anyways. You know, and this is the reason why Reach Out is named what Reach Out is because when I was sitting there thinking about it, it's like that's like the hardest thing in the world to try to come up with a business name, right? And this was a decade ago. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, you know, what I really want is my clients to always know that there's always going to be somebody there. So what do they do when they reach out for help? And I mean, that's literally the statement that goes through my head. I'm like, well, that's it. It's reach out because they want to know that somebody's going to be there to pick up the phone. You know, and we've been 24/7 ever since day one, because that's what I felt. These things can happen at any time of day. You know, and there's ways to do that operationally, which you said it's a 20-minute show. You know, even if you're a one or two man shop, there's ways to do that. Even when it was just me, I figured out a way to be 24/7 a decade ago, or at least available to a point. And it's not to change your Facebook cover image or something like that. You know, it's to identify real business issues that are going on. But reach out at this point now, we're going public here. In about 2 or 3 months, where it's going to be within quarter one of 2021. And the whole purpose is because nobody's really taken the bull by the horns from a nationwide brand and really gone out there and have been a voice for the people, because the threats are just going to keep increasing and everyone wants to be safe. So everyone wants to know, and that safety and security comes with understanding that you have a support system in place. And that's why it goes way beyond the tech. It goes right to the hearts of individuals who are trying to put dinner on their table. The SBA, Small Business Administration, says the average small business owner only takes home $59,000 a year in personal income. And that's stupid to me, because I don't want to survive on $59,000. You know, that won't pay for my Aston Martin. You know, and I'm sure they have aspirations and dreams and everything else, but they need to know that there's always going to be somebody there. And imagine if there's always somebody there nationwide. So it's going to end up being what I foresee is like a almost kind of a coalition of MSSPs across the United States and then into Canada and other parts of the world at some point. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
That sounds so cool. You know, we're just so grateful that to have someone of your caliber on the show. You know, and as Christian was saying, I know we only have 20 minutes, but if you're okay with it, we'd love to have you as a recurring guest, because you are just
I'd be happy to talk with.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'd be happy to be that way. We can talk about anything. We can even dive into scotch sometime too, if you'd like.
Well, I like
sometimes
too,
that helps you get through cybersecurity events. You need a little help through those events, right?
Yeah.
So Rick, keeping on the theme of reach out, how can somebody reach out to you? What's the best way to find you?
Sure. Anybody can text me directly. I mean, if you're an MSSP or something like that, you can text me directly at 312-535-8520. You know, it is a system, but you'll get entered into my contacts and then we can text directly at that point. That's the best way to reach me. If you want to reach out, the main line is 312-288-8000. But please text me directly, because it's the best way for your audience anyways. Follow me on Instagram too, Mr. Rick Jordan. There's a lot of really cool motivational stuff I throw out there, because everybody needs a little bit of that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's the first phone number we've been given on the show. Everyone always says, find me on LinkedIn.
That's great.
So, you text that,
you'll join my community, and then we can stay in touch.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Rick. And Dominic and I will be right back to wrap things up.
Christian, I mean, that conversation certainly lived up to its billing. I mean, that was very, very compelling. I mean, I think we could have talked to Rick for hours.
It ended too soon.
What was one of your key takeaways other than the fact that Rick is going to be on the show multiple times in the future?
100%.
What was one of your key takeaways?
Yeah, so I have to reiterate, he's got to be a recurring guest more than just one time. But the idea of thinking about the problems in cybersecurity and securing your organization, making it more human. So kind of that, you know, understanding the circumstances behind, let's say, internal threats, as he focused on. He gave an example of the ex-employee departing. Also, the idea of being proactive, that proactive message, which we try to preach over and over again. Man, it's so much cheaper, so much easier, so much simpler to do things proactively than it is when the house is on fire.
That is so true. You know, and for me, Rick really hit home again the power of being a skilled communicator. You know, and you know, I truly believe that the cybersecurity industry would be in greater shape now if there are more skilled communicators like Rick. People, again, who are communicating at a level that will resonate with business executives, either at enterprise or the SMB level. So I think Rick has a very, very powerful way of communicating the right message to the right people in the right way. So, I mean, that to me is one of the key takeaways for me in that. Otherwise brilliant conversation. And to your point there, Christian, he will definitely be a recurring guest. I mean, that was such incredible energy he brought to the show today.
Yeah, well, perhaps his level of communication, it comes from the depth of being an entrepreneur, speaker, author, father, husband, ordained pastor, and musician. I didn't get to ask him about some of those other things, but I wonder what instruments he plays. And maybe, does he sing? We got to find these things out.
Well, I'm quite certain he was the first ordained pastor we've ever had on the show as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of threads that we have to still discuss with him. But I think that was an absolutely fantastic conversation. And, you know, I want to make sure that I thank our loyal listeners and viewers, as always, for tuning in and spending a little bit of time of their time with us this week. I want to remind people that if you want to check out previous episodes, please do go to the Conversations That Matter YouTube page, as well as check out other awesome podcasts that fly under that family banner. But until next time, be well, be safe, be awesome, be sure to mask up, and we'll catch you next time on the Cybersecurity Matters podcast.